rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, America. Happy Monday, everybody. I picked that up from my sidekick, Jill. She's always happy, happy, happy. Anyway, it is. It's a good Monday. I would like to wish my beautiful wife a happy anniversary. Let's see, this is 24. We got married 16. 8 years? 8 years today she's put up with me. So happy anniversary, Sandy Clark. And I was just looking back at that's how I figured out how long I've been married. I had to go back to photo album on my phone, 2016. But it was a pretty cool wedding. We got married at the little ranch out west of Willow by the pond. It was just me and her, her mom and dad, my grandson, the dogs, Zoe and Teddy or Griff's, and who else was there? Oh, yeah, Danny Ringer, the preacher. We had to have a preacher. How could I forget Danny Ringer? Anyway, that was all was there, plus 35 cows with calves bawling because some dummy named Jimmy forgot to bring a sack of cake and cake them in another pasture and shut the gate. And I didn't bring a sack of cake. So they sat there on the opposite side of the pond and mooed and bawled. And it was interesting. That's all I can tell you. Till the wedding was over. And when it was over, they went away. It was just like they were making our wedding eventful, I guess. Anyway, pretty cool wedding though. Had my old cowboy hat on. I looked like a real cowboy. And Sandy was beautiful and had a good time. And we signed our papers on the back of my hay bed on my truck. So anyway, it'd be one to remember. So anyway, let's check out some temperatures. Got lots to talk about today. Beaver, Oklahoma. Here are the hottest spot in the state right now at 97 degrees. The May Ranch is at 93. And everybody else in western Oklahoma is somewhere between 92 and 95 degrees. And so it's going to be a hot one. Let's see if anything's different out in the Panhandle of Texas. Not much. 95 at Canadian. The Maisonette must be down at Lipscomb because there's no reading there. 89 at McLean, 94 at Wellington, and 92 at Odell. All right. First of all, let's talk about the Fishing Derby Saturday. It was busy. It was, it's been a long time since I've seen that many kids fishing. And anyway, they were 700 entrants into, there were 700 people there fishing, kids fishing this year compared to a little over 500 last year. The fishermen this year weighed in 86 fish. And I think the big one was 12.85 pounds, and I'll discuss that a little bit later here in a second about the weight on that deal, because I'll fess up to it. And compared to 104 last year, so if my numbers are right, they was 25%, 30% more fishermen this year, but it cost 20% less fish. So what about that? Anyway, we gave away here at KCO, and our sponsors gave away $800 in cash, 3 lifetime fishing license, a kayak, a tent, and many gift certificates and fishing pole to fishermen and contest winner. How about that? That was a lot. But this one kid, and I had to bring up my Facebook page, so I'm sorry. I'll look it up here in a minute. This one kid, he was really good. You know, the chance of catching one of those tag fish in those ponds is pretty slim. Not real slim, but you know, it's very rare that one kid caught two tagged fish for $100 each. He knows his stuff. I think he had some Dr. Kobe Roberts x-ray fishing glasses on, and he could see those. But anyway, I mean, his parents should have took him and bought a lottery ticket Saturday, because catching two tagged fish for $100 each and I heard some stuff, oh, them are from last year. No, they're not. Our tags are changed every year. We have different numbers every year, and it's no big deal. So on to my mess up. I knew they were kind of light, but I wasn't thinking too much about it, because I'm the I was the official fish weigher. Anyway, the kid brought a big old carp over there for me to weigh. And anyway, it did feel like 12 or 13 pounds, but it didn't feel like 6 pounds either. Anyway, 5.85 pounds or something. So finally, the game wardens called me out on my thing. Said, hey, dude, your scales are way off. So anyway, we were weighing bottles of water and everything. Well, we figured out, or Gabe figured out, my scales was on kilograms and not pounds. So anyway, it don't matter. They all weighed the same. It doesn't matter if it's 5.5 kilograms or 13 pounds. Hey, it's still, my weights were right. Maybe just in the wrong language, all right? Anyway, but my deal wasn't as bad as that game warden from Dewey County. I'm not even going to say his name, because most of you already know who he is. But anyway, he was late. I'm telling about big time late. Anyway, I guess he didn't read his email correctly, but or listen or look at his text right. Anyway, he ended up at Clinton, and he called everybody to see where everybody was at. And it's not Acme Park. We were at Ackley Park. Anyway, he was the last person in the park. It was pretty funny. But he's a really good guy, and you guys in Dewey County are lucky to have him as a game warden. But just make sure the name of your place and your directions are exact for him, so he can come to him. So anyway, pretty fun day. Everything was good. We had it's actually sprinkling on us there to the first, and I thought that might help the fish bite, but nope. It was it was semi-slow. It wasn't terrible, but last year, man, I couldn't even take a break at the weight scales. So that was going, anyway, that was pretty fun. So, all right, well, enough about fishing. And, oh, we did give 3 lifetime fishing licenses away. So, good all to those 3 kids that got them. That was great. And it was fun. It was a fun day. And off to the rodeo we went after that. So, anyway, nothing major happening at the Clark Ponderosa. We just tomatoes and peanuts. Got irrigation going. And what else? Hauling water over in the Red Hills. Got plenty of grass and no water. And at the house, I got no grass and plenty of water. But, I plant cover crops. And some of the cover crops got big enough that I'm grazing them now. So, anyway, it's all worked out good. Things are going well. The rain deal doesn't look too good for us, guys. I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but it doesn't look too good. And the next 4, 5, 6 days, as you all guys well know, it's going to be in the triple digits, and we are going to, it's going to be hot and windy. Is this what we wanted, huh? Okay, let's see here. Let me get to my emails. I want to read this. I seen this somewhere on the internet, and I want to read it to you. This is a tribute that somebody wrote to the farmers and ranchers, and I thought this was just really cool. It's funny how a farmer spends countless hours getting the land ready, from disking all the way to planting. He spends thousands of dollars on fuel, equipment, and repair bills. He spends many hours praying for rain or sunshine instead of sleeping. He sweats like no other job will make you. He works like most people wouldn't. He gets yelled at and cussed out by people who get caught behind the tractor traveling down the road, and he spends many times of a day wondering if it's worth it. The deer, coyotes, hogs, coons, gophers, grasshoppers are just a few pests to contend with. He does all this for what? Well, ask yourself, why would he do that? The answers are all around you. The plate of food sitting in front of you, the clothes on your back, the shoes on your feet, and the last answer is the one that puzzles most people. It's the dust. It's the love for agriculture and the satisfaction of knowing he had it done his part at the end of the day. I'd like to thank all the farmers and ranchers out there who helped make the world go around. Can I get an amen out of that deal? All right. Well, I've already talked a little bit too long in this segment, which is all right. We'll get cranked up with some what happened overnight in the Lipscomb Ag Grain Market update coming up in the next segment. It is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Hour Day. I need you guys to listen up after this break. Lori texted me this morning, and we need to pass some really important information onto the farmers and ranchers that were affected by the wildfires back earlier this year. So I need you guys to listen up on this. But I'm in such a good mood. KJ brought some tickets up here a while ago from the Sugar Creek Casino. So listen up, ladies. Would you guys like to go to Sugar Creek Casino coming up this Friday night, actually, and see Australians Thunder from Down Under? Untamed 2024 tour. So the first lady to text in that they'd like to go see Australia's Thunder from Down Under, text it in. 580-225-9697. I need your name also. And this is going to, surely, you guys will have to let me know. This is surely going to be better than the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. I'm pretty sure there won't be no Smurf there. So anyway, let me go to break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Eric.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com. High
cotton. Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
What's wrong, ladies? You guys don't want to go see the Thunder Down Under? Nobody you scared I'll read your name on the air? I promise you I wouldn't do that. Anyway, come on. I have one pair of tickets. Let's have it. Send me your name and say you want to go see the Thunder Down Under from Australia. So, all right, let's check out the weather here. Canadian, Texas, 96 degrees, heat index of 98, humidity is 35, dew point 64, the wind south, out of the south at 23 miles an hour, with gusts up to 27, peak wind gust today, 31. Month-to-date precipitation, 1.13 inches so far. 8-inch soil temperature, 87 degrees. And that is your forecast for out there at Canadian. Anyway, it's going to be a warm week. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big ag world before we get to the grain report. Soybeans, man, they hit rock bottom. Soybeans futures plunged in overnight trading on predicted favorable weather in the Midwest, but they didn't react when they were losing all them in the flood, did they? Just shows you this is a one-sided operation in Chicago and Kansas City. National Weather Service maps forecast rain during the next 7 days for parts of the region, including much of Iowa, Illinois, who are the largest U.S. corn and bean producers in the United States. Additionally, much of the eastern corn belt is projected to see rainfall during the next week. Showers are expected to ease some dry areas in the western Midwest, and weather forecast looks wetter for parts of the eastern Midwest. According to the Commodity Weather Group, it is said in a note to its clients, precipitation will boost soybeans and cotton in the Delta, and said the forecaster. 68% of the U.S. soybean and crop were in good or excellent condition last week, according to the USDA. 57% of the corn crop earned top ratings. The USDA is scheduled to release its weekly crop progress report this afternoon. The weather has been favorable in parts of the Midwest this growing season. Iowa is free of drought and abnormally dry conditions, according to the drought monitor. At the start of the year, 97% of Iowa was facing dry or drought conditions. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 16.5 cents to $10.32 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost $5 to $3.1970 a short ton. And soy oil was down 0.31 cents to 41.52 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery dropped 1.5 to 408.5 a bushel. Wheat futures for September delivery lost 3.5 cents to 520 a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 2 cents to 547.5 a bushel. Investors reduced their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn and beans in the 7 days that ended July the 23rd, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Speculators held a short position of 333,885 future contracts in corn, down from 352,000 contracts a week earlier. That's the smallest bearish position since June 25th. Money managers were net short by 172,945 soybean future contracts last week, down from 183,000 the week prior. And wheat, hedge funds, and other large investment firms held a net short position of 73,000 in soft red winter wheat futures, up narrowly from 72,000. Speculators also held a net 41,016 hard red winter contracts. That's down modestly from 44,000 contracts a week earlier. So anyway, crazy stuff. Extremely hot weather is expected in a large chunk of the Corn Belt. Red flag and excessive heat warnings have been issued from the Texas Panhandle east into southern Indiana. The eastern half of Kansas is under an excessive heat warning indexes. In some counties are forecast to reach 111. Areas of eastern Missouri and western Illinois are predicted to see heat indexes of 114 this afternoon. Heat-related illnesses increase significantly during extreme heat and high humidity. Those working outside are advised to use caution, take breaks in an air-conditioned environment, and limit activities to mornings and evenings. And that's a big 10+. 10-4. All right, let's see what's happening with this Lipscomb Dealerships grain market update that we got here. September corn, 394, up a quarter. December, 411, up one. Soybeans for August, 1054, down 23, and it was worse this morning. September, 1027, down 14 and a quarter. Soybean meal. August, 353.20, down 10. September, 333.70, down 60. Soybean oil for August, 42.28, down 138. September, 42.21, down 80. Hard red winter wheat, September, 552, up 7 and a quarter. And December's 568, up 6 and 3 quarters. October cotton, 67.52, up 145. Sugar? We haven't said anything about sugar today. Speaking of sugar daddy, he had his grandson with him this morning. I can't believe he'd bring his grandson to the table of knowledge, especially that table of knowledge this morning. Anyway, Brady's a good kid, and he was going to cut some grass over there not too far from me, about 2 miles straight north of me. Anyway, hope he's doing good. If you're listening, Brady, don't pay any attention to anything you heard this morning, and you'll be way better off. September, West Texas intermediate crude oil, September 75.60, down 156, and natural gas, August 195, down 5. Live cattle for August, 187.82, down 75, October 187.40, down 115. Feeder cattle for August, 257.05, down 265, September 256.77, down 282. October's 255.97, down 232. Lean hogs, August 91.27, down 220. The Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ look like they're in the green, but just barely. So they're on the positive side, though. Anyway, that is your Lipscomb Dealerships grain market update there. All right, let's see here. Oh, I got to share this OCA deal with you. Let me find this text message. Okay, so anyway, I know this is about the, I'm just going to read you what Lori says. How about that? If you have time on the show this week, could you please relay a message for me for the wildfire affected? I know a lot of those producers didn't turn in fire relief applications for various reasons, but it's not too late and we're still distributing that donation money. If they could, please call her ASAP by phone, 580-273-5137. 5137. Call Miss Lori Campbell ASAP on this if you were affected in the wildfire back earlier in the year in the big one. Anyway, also, if you want to, you can email her, lcampbell@okcattleman.org. lcampbell@okcattleman.org. Let's see here. Also, I think we have all the Oklahoma hay drops cleared out, but if anybody knows of one that still has unclaimed hay sitting around, if they'll contact her, we can get that distributed or sold for donation money. So there you have it. Got any questions about this? Just text me, or if you didn't get Lori's number, call me, text me. I'll send this information on to you. So they would appreciate it because they've got some donation money they're still wanting to distribute for people affected by the wildfires earlier this year. How about that? Anyway, okay, let's go ahead and take a break, an OCA break. And when I come back, I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather update, and we'll continue on. I got so many things to talk about today, I don't even know where to start. We got a couple of great events coming up later this week. Also, I'll be doing my show live from Edmond, Oklahoma, Thursday from a vegetable farm up there. And this ain't just about vegetables, but I want you guys to know the engineering department from Oklahoma State is there. They're installing a new type of geothermal piping in the ground, and they're going to heat and cool these six high tunnels that this Hill Vegetable Farms has right there. So it's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait to do this. They're leaving it uncovered till I do my show Thursday because there's not a chance of rain, by the way. Anyway, they're going to be able to heat and cool with just piping. So I can't wait to get there. And honestly, I don't know the doctor, the professor that's coming on my show from the engineering department. If we were talking ag, I might remember, but since we're talking engineers, it's a whole different deal. But you can also do these with other buildings, like your barn and stuff like that. So I'm pumped. I can't wait to get up there Thursday and do the show live to see exactly what's going on, because I'm not the biggest fan of solar panels and wind towers, but when you start talking geothermal, now I'll listen. Okay, I'm cool with that. So anyway, let's see if any more ladies text in. Nope. You ladies are scared. So you're scared that I'll tell everybody that you went to see the Thunder Down Under. So anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey everyone, this is JJ Quibido at No Limit Land Management and Excavation. At No Limit Land Management and Excavation, we are proudly veteran owned. We deliver top tier forestry mulching, land clearing, and excavation services across Oklahoma. We leverage advanced technology, including our Fecon Fusion machine, to ensure projects are completed with efficiency and faster than our competition. Our comprehensive offerings include terrace building, pond grading, junk removal, and gravel installation, all performed with the highest level of professionalism and precision. We are committed to excellence and reliability, transforming each property into a testament to the American dream. We are locked and loaded and ready to get your land cleared, regardless if it is cedars, elms, cottonwood, mesquite, or any other invasive trees. We can help you clear up your pastures for grazing or get your land ready to build. Give No Limit Land Management and Excavation a call at 580-303-8479. We do not give bids over the phone. That number again is 580-303-8479.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July the 19th. 1,775 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 380 brought 385. 6 at 531 brought 306. 7 at 586 brought 286. 11 at 614 brought 287. 10 at 706 brought 255. 15 at 893 brought 230. 7 at 1,001 brought 220. 3 head of heifers at 323 brought 332.50. 5 at 538 brought 250. 4 at 551 brought 266. 11 at 821 brought 227.50. 4 at 848 brought 220. Butcher cows were 70 to 161. Butcher bulls brought 120 to 196. Bred cows 1300 to 2775. Pairs were 1825 to 3000. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Buffalo, America, 96 degrees. Feels like 98, dew point 63, humidity's at 34. The winds are out of the south-southwest, 18 miles an hour with wind gust up to 27. 7 one-hundredths of an inch in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 87 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.8. Sunset at 8:48. Hot 105 today with south winds 14 to 15 with wind gusts up to 30. Tonight, 78. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 with gusts up to 20, 25. Tomorrow, same thing. Hot 106, south winds 10 to 15 with wind gust up to 20 and 25 miles an hour. That don't even sound good, does it? All right, let's see here. Let me get rid of this. So, you guys remember back in the 70s and 80s, it was like almost every road you drove down, not quite, but close, there was a dairy. You could drive north of Foss. There was a dairy over there. You could drive around Carter. There was one or two in that area. And around Elk City, there was three, four, five. I don't remember all who had dairies, especially up in Roger Mills County. A lot of dairies up in there. And then they disappeared. They totally disappeared. Anyway, there are fewer dairy cows nationwide, but they each produce more milk. And very large dairy farms with more than 2,000 head are the source of 39% of the milk supply. California and Wisconsin still dominate the U.S. milk production, accounting for one-third of the total output, but the dairy industry went through a substantial restructuring in the past 20 years. I miss those dairies, said a USDA analyst. There was 26,290 dairy herds licensed to sell milk in 2023, compared to 70,375 herds in 2003. And milk production of 226.4 billion pounds last year was 33% larger than the 170.3 billion pounds 2 decades ago. Texas and Idaho expanded production to become two of the five largest dairy states during that period, each with 7% of the U.S. production. Meanwhile, California's share of production dipped to 18%, a decline of 3 percentage points. Wisconsin produces 14% of the U.S. milk today, up 1 point from 2002. There are fewer dairy cows nationwide, but each produce more milk, and very large dairies that have more than 2,000 head are the source of 39% of the milk supplies. Dairy farms tend to be larger in the West. Not only have dairy farms become larger, but they have become more specialized in dairy production, lowering their production of other farm commodities and depending more heavily on purchased rather than homegrown feeds, said the Economic Research Service report. Larger dairy farms have tended to be more specialized in dairy production than smaller dairies and are greater adopters of the most advanced technologies, management practices, and production systems. So, anyway, that was an interesting read. Yeah, because, man, that's a thing, you know, back in the 70s or even earlier now, but 70s, 80s that I remember of, the people who I knew had dairy farms, it was get up, go milk the cows, eat your breakfast maybe, and get after your farming, making hay, making silage. You know, we had harvest stores and all those things around here. It's pretty interesting time. Just I don't know, the landmark. I don't think there's, somebody might correct me, but I don't think I've seen one of those big dark blue harvest stores silos. They're all gone, aren't they? I think. I haven't seen any around here. That don't mean I haven't traveled by one. There may be one. Is there one around? Does anybody know of one still standing? Sure, they're probably using it as a deer blind now. But anyway, I haven't seen one in quite a long time. I think it's going to keep changing. And I think California, this is a big theory. All right, not a conspiracy theory, but it's just a big theory of mine. I think the dairies in Texas Panhandle and up north are going to get bigger in the future because of all the stupid stuff California is doing out there, and with their land, and I don't know, I shouldn't even brought California up, but I now I have. So anyway. Talking to a friend of mine last night that lives in Idaho now, that moved from California, but he was originally from Hawaii, so we can't call him a true blood Californian. But he said that there's a couple of the vegetable farmers up in Idaho now just got tired of it. The regulations in California got bad. That one guy had, a 1,800-acre avocado farm there in California. And it just wasn't no fun no more with all the regulations, the government and all this stuff. All their trucks for delivering and all their tractors and stuff. And tractors, I'm telling you, I'm sure there's not a whole lot of tractors on an avocado farm. I don't know that. But by the year 2027, if I remember right, I'm trying to remember all this conversation I had with all their stuff had to be totally electric on this avocado farm. Totally electric on this avocado farm. So they sold out and they are in Idaho now. I don't know if they're doing avocado farms or whatever, but I guess they were just done. And then irrigation is going to be, or already is, a major factor with the population booming in California's. The power companies are buying the irrigation permitted irrigation water through the Colorado, Colorado River and some other stuff that feeds their irrigation districts through there. And they are selling them, the farmers are selling those rights to the power companies, and which I don't blame them. I mean, there's huge amount of money involved there, and just get that money and get out of California is all I can tell you. So they're buying that so they can have more water for cities down there in L.A., San Diego, and all that place down there. More water for public water. So they're buying irrigation water from the farmers. So it's either dry land. And if I remember right, when I traveled through California there here 6-7 years ago, I don't think that thing will grow anything without any water, because it's a pretty dry climate in that area there. So anyway, so I think with all that little nitpicking stuff going on, there's going to start being fewer dairy cattle. And then we all know about these cows and their farts and how much gas they put out, greenhouse gas they're doing. And so, you know, sooner or later, I think California is going to be doing away with cattle. Is already doing or going to be doing away with gas and diesel engines. So, I don't know. Bad deal, huh? Anyway, I don't know what to say. All right, let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, I'll have your forecast for southwestern Oklahoma brought to you by the Hobart Farm and Garden there in Hobart. And we got a couple other things to talk about before we go. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Medical school for doctors and training programs for nurses are great, but some doctors and nurses go beyond the minimum requirements. They become certified in a specialty by the board that governs their branch of medicine. To achieve that, doctors and nurses have to go through extensive education after they graduate. There's a doctor and two nurse practitioners in Elk City who are all board certified in urology, Dr. Cole Wooten and nurse practitioners Tracy Lane and Aaron Doherty. In all of Western Oklahoma, there are only three nurse practitioners certified in urology. Tracy and Aaron are two of the three. When the governing board certifies you, that means you're among the best there is. At Urology Associates Western Oklahoma, that's what you get. Dr. Cole Wooten and certified urological nurse practitioners Tracy Lane and Aaron Doherty. 522 North Main in Elk City. On Facebook, search Urology Associates Western Oklahoma.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you, too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, by the way, we did have a winner. The pair of tickets to go see Australia's Thunder Down Under. Okay. Anyway, Oh, there's such a good story behind that, but I'll keep my mouth shut. Let's see here. We will go to, let's go to Hobart. I haven't been to Hobart in probably a week. Hobart, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 94 degrees, feels like 99. Heat risk is low as of right now. 2.69. Oh, excuse me. Humidity is 44. The winds are out of south-southwest at 21 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 28. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 87. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.5. Sunset, 8:42 p.m. Hot and 100 today with south winds, 20 to 31 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 30, 35. Tonight, not so cool, 77 degrees and mostly clear. South winds, 15 to 18. Tomorrow, not good. Hot, 101. South wind, 17 to 20 miles an hour with wind gust up to 35. Going to dry some things out, looks like. Anyway, let's see here. I was looking at this deal this morning, and we've all heard a little bit about John Deere in their layoffs and all this stuff. Well, John Deere recently laid off a significant number of salaried employees as part of the company's ongoing workforce reductions. The official number of layoffs is still unknown, but are part of a broader trend of workforce reductions at John Deere, which has been ongoing for several months. Well, Corey Reed, who is the president of the company's worldwide agriculture and turf division for the production and precision ag, spoke publicly about the layoffs for the first time in an exclusive interview with the U.S. Farm Report this week. Reed addressed everything from recent layoffs to company's decision to move a small portion of its production to Mexico. So here's some of the highlights I was going to point out to you. John Deere said recent layoffs of both its salary and production workforce are due to lower net farm income, higher interest rates, and market volatility. Reed said John Deere expects farm equipment sales to be down 20% in 2024 due to the economic pressures on the farm. John Deere is addressing cost concerns by reducing the prices of some new technologies, such as the See and Spray retrofit kit. John Deere also is investing in automation to improve manufacturing efficiency and reliability. Reed emphasized that job cuts are unrelated to the 21 strike by production workers. He also stressed that John Deere's decision to move its calf production to Mexico is separate, saying that the production site in Mexico has been in operations for nearly 70 years, calling it an important part of our global footprint. The USDA is forecasting net farm income in 24 to be $116.1 billion, which is a 25.5% drop from 23, following a 16% drop in 23 versus 22. Those two consecutive years of significant decline mark the largest drop in net farm income in U.S. history. Net farm income is expected to be down into the mid to high 20s, and when this happens, and commodity prices pull back, interest rates are a little bit higher, and we see volatility in the weather. It creates uncertainty that interrupts demand. We're expecting that today. Looking across our industry, we're expecting to be off roughly 20% year over year from 2023. Mr. Reed said, the mounting economic pressures are showing up across the equipment industry. The latest Association of Equipment Manufacturers that I read last month, released in June, showed how drastic a drop in ag equipment sector is currently experiencing. AEM's report showed combine sales in June dropped 31% compared to last year. Total farm tractor sales were down 16%. While the company forecast equipment demands to fall 20% overall this year, Reed says the second half of this year looks to be even more challenging than the first half. We kind of have the tale of two ends of the year, he said. If you look back at the front half of the year, in fact, if you took the large row crop tractor business, what you would have seen is a market that was still peaking in April and May, in the April and May timeframe. A lot of buyers were in the market based off performance last year, As we hit May going into June, used inventory levels started to grow, and you saw buyers starting to pull back. Those trade differentials looked different for them, and they started pulling back at a faster rate. As farmers pull back on purchasing new equipment, the short-term market outlook is hard to project, according to John Deere. So here's the last thing. He said, so the question on every farmer's mind, does John Deere have any plans to cut the price of equipment? Reed said John Deere is addressing cost concerns by reducing the prices of some new technologies, such as the See & Spray retrofit kit. We're taking some of our latest technologies and we're cutting the upfront price of it. If you take See & Spray, which is a great example, that product would normally cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to add to a machine. We've lowered the upfront price for a retrofit kit to be able to put it in for tens of thousands of dollars. A customer who wants to manage their herbicide costs differently has the opportunity to buy into that on an acre-by-acre basis and only pay based on what they save. That's interesting. Let's see what else is in here. He said, as John Deere aims to align production inventory levels with current market demands, the down cycle of the agriculture is hitting all the industry hard. But Reed says he's still bullish on agriculture long term. When asked what he wanted farmers to know, here's what Reed said. We have 80,000 employees in this company. We wake up every day with the same purpose. The purpose is quality, innovation, integrity, and commitment to our customers. We want to grow value on each and every one of those farms. We want to do it in a way that every day they wake up, with every pass they make through the field, they have confidence they're partnering with somebody in the industry. John Deere and our John Deere dealers working to drive value, working to drive profitability on each and every one of their farms. There you have it. I wanted to share that with you guys. Hey, coming up this Friday in Enid, Oklahoma, Colin Seiss, an Australian farmer, rancher, author, who invented pasture cropping in 1995, will speak at the second annual Crossroads Conference on July 30th at, that's actually Thursday, ain't it? Is that right? What does my calendar say today? That's tomorrow. Anyway, man, I'm way off on that one. Anyway, so Seiss will share information about his philosophy on sustainable agriculture. We were really surprised at how well received the conference was last year, said Meg Grasky, program coordinator for Oklahoma Conservation Commission. This year, we streamlined it into one day so participants will not have to stay all night. She said they wanted to make sure it's easier for everyone interested to attend. And you can get a hold of Meg. There's only 125 tickets available for this thing. If you want this number, I'll give it to you real quick for the show ends. 580-827-5070. 580-827-5070 to register for the Crossroads Conference. And it's $80 per person, lunch included. So anyway, This is pretty cool. This guy, if you've ever Googled him or searched him, he's very interesting. Meg said that they were very excited about having Colin come. He's well known around the world for his conservation efforts. Seiss speaks about how pasture cropping is restoring perennial grasslands and increasing his profits, and will tell the story how mid-20th century agriculture failed him and the adoption of industrial agriculture practices, and how high rates of fertilizer and pesticide use caused severe ecological damage on their land in Australia. The decline threatened to spiral his farm and his family into financial ruin. In 1979, the Seiss family steadied the ship. A massive bushfire did a lot of damage to the property, destroying the homestead and killing 3,000 of their sheep. So it's going to be a very interesting deal, and we're going to talk about that coming up. And like I said, if you just call your local conservation district, and I bet they'll get you in touch with Meg. So that's going to be pretty cool. I swear that thing was Thursday. Not tomorrow, but I could be wrong. Let me see here real quick, because I got it from Meg. Let me see what she has here. Oh, that was in an email. Never mind. I ain't got time to look it up. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great day. Take care of yourself out in this heat, because we got 4 or 5 days of it for sure. Anyway, you guys have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.